Welcome, everyone. This is Engaging Walk. My name is Drake.
And my name is Ruby.
So today we're going to be discussing the fourth principle of the seven Gottman principles of marriage, of making marriage work. And the fourth principle is all about letting your partner influence you. So we're going to be diving into that discussion today and having lots of conversations about what is he talking about when he's saying that. And so my wife over here, Ruby, she and I are going to talk a lot about this topic and kind of like make it relevant and our reflections on it. We're not affiliated or sponsored by Gottman, so this is our point of view on what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's get into this idea of what Gottman is saying when he says the fourth principle, a very important one. They're all really important principles, which is letting your partner influence you. So essentially what he's talking about in the chapter about this principle is letting your partner influence you in decisions about the relationship. And it makes sense. So we're going to break that down a lot further, but some of the examples that he gives is a really important one, which is that a husband, let's say, for example, is going to a car dealership and looking for a new car for the marriage, for the family. And he finds a car and he's like, oh, this car is great. It's exactly what I want. So I would really like to buy this car. But I promised my wife that the next car that we buy, that I would get a mechanic to look it over. So he discusses that with the car salesman. And the car salesman is like, hey, you're going to let your wife influence your decisions about cars? Your wife doesn't know anything about cars. And he says, well, that's not like really what's important. What's important is that we come to a decision that makes sense for us. And her criteria or her thing that she needed was having a mechanic look it over. So she already knows she doesn't know anything about cars. But she's like, hey, babe, next time we buy a car, can we please have a mechanic look it over? And that's a simple and easy request and mm-hmm. a sensible request. So the husband was sensible to listen to his wife and say, hey, yeah, you know, that makes sense. Let's do that. And marriage, a concept that we talk about here a lot with an engaging walk, is a lot about bringing yourself to the marriage. And a lot of what he's talking about here is conflict resolution. So he talks a lot about the four horsemen. So it was criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. How when we have conflict, when let's say things are going not my way in a discussion, we are making a decision together and I don't like the way the decision is going. Instead of having a conversation that's respectful and recognizes the importance of what my partner has to bring to the table, we start bringing in these four ugly horsemen into mm-hmm. the conversation. And in a lot of his marriage counseling and a lot of his observations, that plus some other things that we can get into in a little bit are what bring the relationship to a halt mm-hmm. and causes disconnection.
Yeah. And do you want to talk about a little bit about the ego of each side and then why men have hard time? Well, I would say have a harder time to let the other, like a female side, a feminine side, to influence their thought.
Yeah, so according to Gottman's research, he made some notations that men have a harder time taking advice and taking influence from their wife, from their wives, when they're going into these decisions, when they're having, again, this is a lot about decision-making process that happens in the family. And for single people, this might not seem so important, but when you're living your life together, when you share finances, when you share a home, when decisions affect one another so, you know, with so much impact, then those decisions can become our big decisions. In other words, me buying a car on my own as a single man, I only have to really consult with myself, maybe one or two other people just to get their input. Hey, do you like this car? Like, what do you think about this car? But the decision comes down to me and my own. Whereas in a relationship, especially a marriage, mm-hmm. the decision-making process is much more complex because two people are involved. And according to Gottman's research, men have a harder time taking that influence in from their wife than wives do for their husband. Now, this is not to say that you know, men are only to blame, because he gives a lot of examples in which women's reactions, bringing the four horsemen of criticism especially, can derail the conversation. And another one that he talked about was, had a lot to do with like the conflict resolution of what, how do you navigate the waters when you're having this conflict? Because they do happen when you're having these conflicts about how to come to a mutual standpoint on a decision. And one of them was that, you know, sometimes women tend to do, which is to open the conversation in a negative way. So opening it with criticism, opening it with a negative tone, as opposed to a compromising or mutual understanding tone, can make all the difference in reaching a conclusion that is mutually beneficial.
So he's trying to say that it's not what we're talking about, how we convey or how we open the conversation will influence the person, I mean, like your husband's thoughts. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, that's a lot of that was some of the examples for that you, Gottman
like,
gave.
Yeah, but this is like for you, like, what do you think, how is help for the men to receive or take in the input from their wives?
I think how it's open can be a make or break situation, because, and you know, and again, in Gottman's research, he says something to the effect of like, when you open with a negative tone, then he gave some data that backed it up, but essentially the outcome is going to be negative. And mm-hmm. It has little to do with if there was constructive things that happened within, but that the first 20 seconds that sets the tone for the conversation, sets the tone for the conversation. So opening it with a respectful tone, opening it with
acknowledging the person's thoughts,
acknowledging the person's thought, but also seeing like where their decision-making process is, I think is crucial to understanding how to navigate from there. So for example,
that makes sense.
If I come up to, if we're making a decision on a car, and or because a car is just such a stark example of like how two people can have such different points of views on what kind of car that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I come to a car and, you know, my wife says, hey, I would like this, you know, let's say a Ford Ranger truck. You know, we're trying to buy a truck. And I'm like, a Ford Ranger? You know, that's mm-hmm. that's a stupid car. We should get, you know, the Chevy Silverado. You know, and then there's very little that's going to happen after that that's going to be productive. If I open it with something that says, like, that's a stupid decision, or like, you know, that's a dismissive tone is going to say, I don't really care about what you think. It's going to say, like, I have more of an input in this conversation than you do. If I open that with, you know, what draws you to the Ford Ranger, mm-hmm. then we're having a much different conversation.
But you allow the other person to share their thought instead of assume or put your thought into their decision making.
Yeah, and this can go for so many different things, like it's even true. For a vacation.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to go on a vacation this summer, babe. Oh, where do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Mexico City. Mexico City?
Why? You know, Alf and everywhere. Why? Yeah.
Now imagine on the other end of that, your partner said something to the effect of like, oh, well, there's this beautiful museum there that I've been dying to see since I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
And I never got the chance. I was thinking that it'd be great if we went together.
Yeah.
Now you're like, oh, that. Now I feel like a bad person because I shot you down so harshly.
Yeah. And I mean, like, also, you may make the other person feel like, oh, my decision is not good enough, you know, like, mm-hmm. or it doesn't create a safe place to share. It's more like criticizing the person's choice.
Yeah, there's this, that opening of setting the tone with a negative input is, I think, you know, in a lot of ways is going to derail the conversation, is going to make it much more difficult to connect, okay. and much more difficult to reach a decision together.
Or could like make the person feel like attacked instead of like we have a conversation. But also I also brought I have another thought when I heard the input from Gottman that, you know, it like it just like you said, that the relationship is two person. So if we try, if we're not sharing, we're not showing up in, mm-hmm. in the relationship, then now it's just the even though it's we are in the relationship, but then only one person dialogue. Like one person make the decision, one person pick the final say.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard. And then I feel like, you know, if we trying to please the person and we're not showing up for who we are, we're not showing, I'm not like saying like we argue, but no, like just share the thoughts, the feeling, you know, you feel valid in that situation, then we cannot be angry or upset with the other person's decision because we did not show up at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's good, it's always good to share and your feeling, your thoughts. And I know it's hard for introvert to, like, because I'm speaking for myself because I'm introvert. I will take some, I need some time to process things and even like share my emotion in the way that, you know, is not at with, you know, fire and mm-hmm. Spicy words in there. So it's, you know, maybe you can give them a hint. Say, hey, I need some time on that, and I will share with you what my thoughts is, and I think we can go from there because you allow yourself to speak, and you allow yourself to be heard, and also put input in there, and go from there instead of being quiet and angry. And I think that's where disconnect happens because yeah. You feel like, oh, I don't want to talk anymore. Oh, okay. Oh, fine. You are the husband. Oh yeah. You're the husband. You're the leader of the house. You can make anything. But then most of the time, the wife will complain after that. See, if you listen to me, that would not happen, but you could have shared that instead of being quiet and, you know, yeah. Disconnect.
There's a psychologist that I really like named Jordan Peterson. I know a lot of people have heard of him. He's very famous, and he had a really I think, you know, it's a hard thing to hear, but it's necessary. He said, "Hey, husbands, you have to listen to your wives because you're going to listen to them one way or the other. You're either going to listen to them in marriage or you're going to be listening to them in divorce court." Mm-hmm. And you know, that's I think. You know, that's what we're taught. That's why this principle is so important, because on the one hand, you know, it's a balance, just like most things in life. There's a balance between not showing up, not voicing your opinions, not, you know, just cruising through life and like, yeah, I'm going to let my partner make all of the decisions. And if I'm unhappy, then I'm just going to keep quiet and keep those thoughts to myself, you know, in order to avoid conflict. And then on the other hand, if you bring them up, and then there's significant conflict, and that can derail the relationship as well. But there's a balance to that. So that's what essentially this whole principle is about, which is allowing. I think allowing mm-hmm. would be a better word than letting.
Mm-hmm.
Allow your partner to influence you.
Yeah. You know? And I think we can share a little bit more in our car hunting, which just recently happened to us.
Yeah, a car is a perfect example for this.
Yeah.
You know, so well, I think let's first juxtapose it with how how it looks like when a person doesn't show up and they're not bringing their point of view to the table and just letting decisions go without their input. So we can go back to, I think it was maybe a year
illustration.
Ago.
Oh, okay, cool. Go ahead.
And I had to buy a new phone.
Mm-hmm.
My phone broke. So it broke yeah. really badly. So I had to buy a new one. And we went to AT&T to go get the new phone. And they were like, hey, there's a trade-in value for the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but the screen was cracked really badly.
Yeah.
And they're just so and so the guy was like, we can give you X amount of money for it in its current condition. And then
or
if it's fixed repaired, then it could be like, I think it was like $700 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so we looked across the in the mall. There was like an you break, I fix it kind of repair place. And my wife was like, hey, let's go over there and see if they can repair it. So we go over there and...
Wait, slow it down. Uh-huh. So I saw the store. Well, I'm not sure if I saw the store or the AT&T agents mentioned, like, hey, there's a store if you want an option to fix it. That's an option. So you go, you went ahead and say, no, it's okay. I just want to, you know, trade in. And I was like, well, it's just a few steps away. You know, if you don't like it, you can just don't make the decision. But there's an option. Why don't you check how much you can, you know, fix for it?
Yeah, and, so he... Yeah. Well, go, you can finish.
And then you can just... I recognize that you didn't like that thought, but you just went ahead anyways. And I remember you took real long time there. And throughout the night, I could tell like you was not happy about it. And for me, I'm saying, okay, fine. Because, you know, everyone they are powerful. They're in charge of their emotions. So my suggestions, but you respond with, you know, other instead of your response was like not happy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. So until I ask, then you share your thought, but that's after everything is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my thought was that I didn't want to do it because I was nervous about, like, you know, it's pretty badly damaged, and what if it doesn't really, you know, hold up well, and I'd essentially, you know, be wasting more money by doing it, and then more time having to wait, you know, for the repairs to be done. So, and then having to go back and forth. Like I really don't like going back and forth to places. I don't like going to stores. So if I can avoid it, then, you know, and that, then I will. But I didn't voice that at the store when I should have just been like, hey, you know what? I don't want to do it like that. I'd prefer to do it this way. And, you know, if it's all the same, then we could do it this way because I don't want to have to keep coming back here.
Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind that I didn't know that that was your thought, because all you did was just like, okay, fine. And then you just went to the store without telling me your thought and your feelings. So, but for my point of view, I said, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it. I just give you an option. Now, yeah. Now he didn't check back with me. He thought like, I insist. And he went with like, grumpy face. So again, like that situation, we didn't share our thoughts, our emotion, and we just went and assume whatever that we can read from the other person's facial expression or, you know, our assumption. And because of that, we didn't enjoy the night.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. And that's what Gottman's talking about when he's saying, you know, let your partner influence you. So, but again, there has to be a balance to it. You can't just go, okay, well, yes, okay, whatever you say, dear. He even gives the, you know, a discussion about this concept in the book, like whatever you say, dear, you know, and then just go with it. No, you have to show up and you have to say you're part of it. But the key is doing it respectfully,
doing it
in a way that values the other person's opinion and checking back. And it can... We're not saying it's going to be fast and easy. It's going to be difficult, but this is the only way that you can come to a mutual decision with mutual understanding and not have any animosity or regrets towards it.
Yeah. So after, you know, everything's, you know, we fixed the phone, everything's done. We went home and I, you know, like I noticed that, okay, we're not on the same page. And that when we have a conversation, and that's when we discuss, like, okay, I noticed that you didn't feel happy about the decisions. What happened? What did I do? Or what was your thought and feeling? And then that's where we know, okay, now I understand that. How can we move on from this? How can we make it better communication next time?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I told him, like, hey, don't feel that pressure that you have to do it, because I say it. I'm okay. For me, I don't really mind if you say like, no, I don't have peace for it. You know, don't feel pushed when I have my input in. But you know, as for wife, sometimes the other way around, when a husband says something and you say like, okay, whatever, as long as you're happy, you know, and you just shut down your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I think I would say both ways is relevant, you know. And then that will lead us to, I think, fast forward a year after this, which is like recently we purchased a car. And we're going to go a little bit different, you know, briefer with the car, how we come to the conclusion and what is it that different from last time.
Yeah, this was a totally different experience because we essentially at that point had done months of research, and we went to maybe by the end we had gone to 6 different dealerships.
Yes.
We went to a Subaru dealership, and our initial plan was to buy a new car. So we ran the numbers, and it was like the end of the year, so it was a good number.
Mm-hmm.
But we made the decision going in that no matter what happened, that we weren't going to buy the car on the spot.
Yeah, we just
wanted to look at numbers, yeah, and see where we were at and be able to make a better decision going forward. Now, of course, everyone gets that pressure from the dealership. Like, hey, you need to buy it. You need to get this.
Yeah.
We were like, no, we're not going to.
Or they was asked like, what is it that you like most, you love about this car? What is it that you're going to, you know, you're going to take this car home? You know, a lot of pressure and emotional mixture in there. And plus, this is like, this is the end of the year. This is the best time ever to buy a car.
So then I share with Ruby, hey, in 3, you know, in 2 months time, President's Day sales are always great time to buy a car. So let's not be pressured. Let's build up to President's Day, and then if we buy one around there, you know. But our objective was buying not just a new car for ourselves, but also for the baby, because the baby's going to be here very soon. So all those things considered, we were going back and forth. We went to another dealership, and we went with a different expectation because now we had changed our strategy a little bit. But we were constantly checking in with each other. Okay, what's the budget? Well, now we went from going to want to get a new car to a used car because we got some pretty decent advice where someone said, hey, don't get a new car with an infant because they're going to destroy that car.
Yeah, they will season it with their fake rims. And so like as the process prolong, we kind of understand what is our needs, what is our family target car look like. And of course, when you do research and also go to different dealerships, you will also know the brackets that we are looking at. Is it realistic or not?
Yeah.
And we feel like, oh, we need to like up the game a little bit, like, yeah, move it up the because our budget is kind of not reasonable for the market right now, because it's really challenging for California.
Our objective was, hey, we're going to buy a car in cash, but if we're buying in cash, then these criteria need to be met in order for it to be a good deal. And it took a little while before we could find a place that was able to meet us in an area where we left with the car that we were comfortable with more or less within our budget.
And then the service at the dealership.
And the service at the dealership was great. They were helpful. They didn't
hassle us.
They didn't hassle us. And then they worked with us. And then we said, hey, this is our number. We've seen different places. We know it's a realistic number.
Mm-hmm.
So let's work with that. And then they got us the best car for that price.
And even though like the car that we bought, it's totally, totally different the car that we wanted to buy. Because first we want a Subaru Forester. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Kia.
Yeah.
And we went to even like Ford was not on the list.
Nope.
And for me, I'm just thinking about Honda or Toyota because everyone knows that a very endurance car in the market. And guess what? We ended up with a Ford. we right now we're both happy about our decision. But I remember at the dealership, the dealership was like, and the girl was like, okay, do you want to go forward with this? And we look at each other and we said, we need a time for each other to talk, just two of us. And during that moment, I think it's around like half an hour at least. Mm-hmm. And we really ask each other like, hey, tell me your honest thought and emotion about this car. And also, what is it that you're looking for in the car, regardless of, you know, my point of view, just you first. And we both like coming down to, even though we love the Kia, but it's really out of budget and it's not practical. And so we have to like radical and logically discuss about it. And I remember the last questions I asked, like, do you have peace to move forward with this car?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asked a question, but I have a harder time because you're very fast. I'm like, yep, this is what I want. And then this is not, it's helped us in the long term instead of, you know, give it a hard time to recover from this purchase, which is very valid thought. And because we able to bounce it back and share the thought, like very genuine thought from individual, and that's where we can, you know, make the decision together. And I know it's long and it's tough because, you know, I need time to process too. And yeah, we move forward with the Ford, and now we're super happy about what, you know, the Ford that we can afford.
Yeah, it's a great car. We bought it in cash. We don't have any car payments.
No.
And we just got the title and it was a great choice. I mean, would it be nice to drive around in a car that's got like Apple Play and all that kind of stuff?
Of course.
Yeah, great. But we ended up realizing later on that we could add that feature, that like touchscreen panel, onto this car for $700. Whereas instead the dealership was marking it up to like $3,500 to $5,000. Mm-hmm. Difference between cars that have that and cars that don't.
Yeah.
So all in all, it was a great choice. It's mm-hmm. a perfect car for what we needed for, which is to transport us with our baby safely and with decent gas mileage and with good visibility and decent features.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't have a car payment on it. So 3, 4, 5 years from now, if we want to look at, you know, a Tesla Model Y or
anything that or newer car,
any kind of newer car when she's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Then like that would be great but someone said that to us. I was like, hey, as an infant, no, they're going to puke in there. They're going to poop in there. All this other stuff's going to happen.
A toddler, they can just like all the crumbs in there. So.
Yeah, but maybe when she's 5 or 6, that would be a great time for us to be even like
older,
you know, to like, hey, let's get a nicer car. We know how she is.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it's a very stark contrast and juxtaposed to how we dealt with conflict and decision-making process, you know, just a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of growth can happen when you have those tough conversations and when you have those conversations that, you know, you're both trying to make peace of a difficult decision. And buying a car is like probably buying a car and buying a house. Oh. We went through both last year.
Oh, the house is like, yeah, more.
Or rather, the car was this year and the house was last year. And we learned a lot.
Yeah, we learned a lot.
From checking in with each other, seeing where we're at and making decisions together. And again, a lot of it is going to come down to how you open that conversation.
And also like, it's about, you know, tackle that things together instead of attack one another. And it's not about I have my way. It's about how us can win this thing, how us can grow and achieve this together. Because at the end of the day, that thing, it just, and you know, just adding on to our life, and we can, I mean, like, the car makes our life easier, but then it's not determined, or it's like, it should not jeopardize our relationship at all.
No, we,
you know,
it of course is going to be difficulties in, and if you can, I think if you can navigate those decisions, buying a house, buying a car together, then smaller decisions are going to be, you know,
easier to...
They're going
to
be easier to manage.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you already have this rapport of, like, how do we deal with those big decisions?
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, like, rushing into it or just making a decision that benefits you alone, not taking your, you know, your wife or your husband's consideration when making those kinds of big purchases or decisions. I guess another good big one would be, you know, job and location.
Yeah.
You know, if you can handle those big decisions with grace and
check in and
see exactly how your wife and your husband feel, then you will be okay.
Yeah, the relationship will thrive because you know, you have a support system, you have building trust and good communication, and you know, it's a safe place to for not just for you but for the relationship to thrive, to share, and to it's all come through big decisions.
Yeah, beautifully said. Okay, so I think with that we'll wrap it up.
Okay,
and we'll of course next you can expect a new episode from us on Friday as we get into the fifth principle of Gottman, of his seven principles. And then we're going to have a little bit of commentary and reflection afterwards. So tons of new episodes to look forward to. We're getting close to our 50th episode. So thank all of you so much for tuning in to Engaging Walk. You know, we're excited to keep building on the podcast, add new episodes in weekly, and videos when we're able, you know. So we want to thank you guys sincerely for tuning in and being with us throughout this whole process. We know we got a lot of people from the United States, Western Europe, and South America that tune in.
Even
every
Asia.
Week in Asia. So we love you guys and thank you guys so much. We really sincerely just want to thank you guys for tuning in. And hopefully our whole goal with this is to bring content that is meaningful for couples and meaningful for, you know, people in relationship, married, that they can use these techniques and use the research and the things that we discuss, you know, for the betterment of their relationship and for their marriage.
For sure, yes, totally agree. And if you know someone that need, you know, some encouragement, or you find this podcast helpful for them, please share with them. And don't forget to rate us on different platforms. And
yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
Pandora. We're available on all of them. We also have YouTube.
Yeah. So, and leave us a comment or ideas that or a topic that you want us to talk about. We would love to hear from you. And thank you so much for making our podcast part of your day, part of your time. And yeah, be happy and enjoy your life with your partner.
All right, well, with that, we'll have our new episode for you guys on Friday, when we'll see you then.
All right, bye, guys.